Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Decoding Efficiency and Innovation, How Systems, Minds, and Nations Shape Our Future by A.J. Thorson, explores a timely question. Why do some people, organizations, and countries consistently turn ideas into scalable progress while others stall? Framing efficiency not as cold cost-cutting, but as a practical discipline for transforming inputs into meaningful outcomes, the book connects individual decision habits with institutional design and national strategy. It emphasizes that innovation is not a mystery spark reserved for a few, but a repeatable process shaped by incentives, feedback loops, culture, and the way problems are defined. Across these layers, Thorson highlights how mental models guide choices, how systems amplify or constrain performance, and how policy and governance influence the pace of technological and social change. Readers can expect a big-picture approach that draws links between productivity, creativity, learning, and resilience, offering a lens for evaluating what works, what wastes effort, and what accelerates improvement in a rapidly evolving world. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, efficiency as a system, not a slogan. A central theme is that efficiency is best understood as a system property rather than a personal virtue or a budgeting tactic. The book treats efficiency as the alignment of goals, resources, constraints, and feedback so that effort reliably produces valuable results. This moves the discussion beyond doing more with less and toward doing the right things with clarity and consistency. In practice, that involves defining the outcome, mapping the process that produces it, and identifying friction points such as handoffs, unclear ownership, duplicated work, and delays in decision-making. The value of this framing is that it helps readers distinguish real improvements from superficial optimization. Cutting time or cost can backfire if it reduces quality, morale, or long-term capability, while thoughtful redesign can raise throughput and reliability simultaneously. The book also highlights measurement as a double-edged tool. What you track shapes behavior, and poorly chosen metrics can reward the wrong actions. By treating efficiency as a feedback-driven loop, readers can examine their own workflows, teams, or institutions for misaligned incentives and hidden bottlenecks, then redesign for better outcomes without sacrificing adaptability. Secondly, mental models and decision quality. The book connects efficiency and innovation to the invisible layer of mental models, the simplified stories people use to interpret complexity. Decisions become faster and more consistent when the underlying model fits reality, but they become wasteful when assumptions are outdated or overly rigid. Thorson emphasizes how attention, bias, and cognitive overload can degrade decision quality, creating a pattern of reactive work that feels busy but produces limited progress. A practical implication is that improving performance often starts with improving how problems are framed. If a team treats every issue as urgent, it will optimize for speed rather than learning, and innovation will suffer. If individuals equate productivity with constant output, they may avoid reflection, experimentation, and the uncomfortable work of redesigning a process. By encouraging readers to examine their default frames, the book supports better prioritization, clearer trade-offs, and more resilient planning. Another focus is learning speed, the ability to update beliefs when new information arrives. In fast-changing environments, the best advantage may be having a decision process that can absorb feedback without ego or politics. This topic positions mindset not as motivation, but as infrastructure for better choices. Thirdly, innovation as a repeatable process. Innovation is presented less as a sudden breakthrough and more as an operational practice. The book highlights how new value emerges when exploration is structured, hypotheses are tested, constraints are embraced, and failures are used as data rather than as verdicts. This perspective helps demystify innovation for readers who associate it with rare genius or unlimited budgets. The emphasis is on building environments where experimentation is affordable, where knowledge travels quickly, and where incentives reward learning rather than just short-term certainty. From a systems angle, innovation requires both variation and selection, generating multiple possibilities, and then choosing what to scale based on evidence and impact. The book also considers the tension between optimization and novelty. Highly optimized organizations can become brittle, locking in processes that resist change, while more adaptive organizations maintain slack, modularity, and cross-functional collaboration to absorb new ideas. For individuals, the same tension appears as routine versus curiosity. This topic encourages a disciplined approach to creativity, linking innovative outcomes to clear problem definitions, thoughtful risk management, and deliberate iteration. Readers can apply the idea by treating ideas as prototypes that improve through cycles of feedback and refinement. Fourthly, institutions, incentives, and scaling. What Works: Moving from Individuals to Organizations, the book examines how institutions translate intentions into outcomes through rules, incentives, and culture. Even talented people struggle inside systems that reward the wrong behaviors. This topic emphasizes that scaling success requires standardization where it helps and flexibility where it matters. Processes that reduce ambiguity can raise reliability, but excessive bureaucracy can slow learning and create performative compliance. The book frames healthy institutions as those that make good behavior easier than bad behavior, using clear accountability, transparent information flow, and well-designed constraints. It also underscores the role of coordination. When teams cannot share context or align priorities, work multiplies, and efficiency collapses into busy work. A practical takeaway is to look for mismatches between stated goals and operational signals, such as promotions, budgets, or metrics. If leaders claim they value innovation but punish experimentation, the system will select for risk avoidance. The book's cross-level approach encourages readers to diagnose problems at the level where they originate. Sometimes the fix is personal habit, sometimes it is process redesign, and sometimes it is governance. Seeing institutions as engines of incentives helps explain why some organizations compound progress while others cycle through reorganizations without real improvement. Lastly, nations, competitive advantage, and future readiness. At the national level, the book ties productivity and innovation to long-run capacity, education, infrastructure, research ecosystems, and policy stability. Rather than treating national success as purely economic, it frames it as a function of how effectively a society converts talent and resources into resilience and opportunity. This includes the ability to adopt new technologies, protect critical systems, and respond to shocks. The book highlights how nations compete not only through markets, but through institutional quality, trustworthy governance, predictable rules, and incentives that attract investment and retain skilled people. Another key idea is that future readiness depends on balancing efficiency with redundancy. Lean systems can be fragile in crises, while overly buffered systems can stagnate. The most robust strategies create optionality, diverse supply lines, adaptable regulation, and investment in capabilities that can be repurposed as conditions change. Readers are encouraged to evaluate narratives about progress through the lens of systems design, asking what structures enable innovation to spread beyond elite pockets. By connecting national choices to everyday outcomes, the book invites readers to see policy debates as practical questions of incentives and design, with direct impact on jobs, stability, and quality of life. In conclusion, this book fits readers who like big-picture synthesis and want a unified way to think about progress across personal habits, organizational design, and national strategy. Leaders, entrepreneurs, analysts, policy-minded professionals, and curious general readers can use it as a framework for diagnosing why outcomes diverge even when effort is high. The benefit is practical. It encourages you to separate activity from impact, improve decision quality by examining assumptions, and design feedback loops that make learning faster and less painful. Those shifts can improve work performance, reduce chronic inefficiency, and make innovation feel more manageable because it becomes a process with inputs and constraints rather than a random event. Compared with similar books that focus only on productivity tips, corporate innovation, or macroeconomics in isolation, Thorsen's value is in linking the layers. That cross-scale view helps readers avoid common mistakes, like trying to motivate individuals to fix what is actually a broken incentive system, or trying to optimize a process that should be redesigned around a better goal. If you want a lens for evaluating claims about efficiency and innovation, and a way to connect everyday choices to broader systems, this book offers a compelling reason to buy and revisit it as your context changes. If you would like to support AJ Thorsen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.